Blog Talk Radio.
Shannon calls,
calls me right when I get back on again. The show's about to start, so I had to call her on my office phone to see, figure out what she wanted. Because she has my car right now. She went shopping.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah. She got a little bit of a fender bender last week. She wrecked her car. And she fucked up the radiator that Jimmy fixed for her. So now she has to go out and buy a new one.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of what happened. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think she was either looking down at something and there's a stoplight and car stopped and she kept going and right into a car that stops, never a good thing. So.
Well, I'm glad she's okay. I mean. It could have been worse.
She was shaken up a lot when it happened. She was strong. I think she hit her pretty hard, but judging by her car, she hit the car pretty damn hard. So, but she's okay now. Everything's fine. Everything's good to go. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. We went down to Virginia Beach and we visited the Casey Institute.
That was very jealous of you to that.
Oh my God, it's beautiful. I actually got to. I sat in the meditation room for a little bit before we left, and I had picked up a book on gemstones and energy healing, along with a meditative CD to help realign my chakras. Sorry, while I'm talking, I'm like running around my room picking random things up.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I do the same thing as I do.
I'm sorry you couldn't go. When they said that you weren't going to be able to make it, I was like, oh, man.
Well, yeah, I had a good excuse. I was down in Smithfield with Rihanna doing, we went to a wedding down there for my friend, John. We've been friends for like, I don't know, 15 years. And he invited me to be part of his wedding, so I obviously could not say no to that. So got to stay in a hotel room.
There's a lot of people were getting married this weekend. You had your friend's wedding to go to, and a friend of mine, his friend Matt, got married Saturday too.
We have got our third partner. The three amigos are back together again. What is up, Amber? Waves and Brain.
Hey, soul sister.
I know she's there. I put her on hold.
Sorry, I'm eating.
Oh, you're eating.
Lucky,
okay.
I left my food down too.
Mm-hmm.
I ran straight.
I'm just going to listen to you guys for a minute while I eat.
All right, that's fine.
Okay.
Talk about yourself.
Okay.
Okay. So, anywho, back to what we were talking about. Everyone's getting married. Let's do something in the water or something. I don't know.
I think it has something to do with spring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I always thought, since I'm such a girl, I thought fall weddings are better than spring weddings, because spring weddings would have, like, pollen and things and everything. And it does not sound like a good time to have a wedding to me, but, I mean, what do I know?
I think it's whoever... All right, I'm going to try to get my thoughts together here.
All right, slow down. Breathe. Okay.
I'm trying to speak before my brain catches up. That happens way too often.
Oh, I know what you mean.
I think that whenever you want to get married, go ahead and get married. But a lot of people choose, like, springtime. And I think it's because, like, springtime is supposed to be the time of love, I don't know.
Well, I think the spring might be the fact that it's everything's new in the springtime. The flowers are out. It's a season of life, I guess. fall, autumn, I think, for a season of family, you know, harvesting and picking apples, and it's you know, comfort.
But the colors are so pretty.
That too. But the colors are pretty spring too. Yeah. Just don't get married in the winter, or summer, and you'll be straight. In summer, oh God. I mean, it could be. I went to a wedding in Cincinnati. It was like 90 degrees outside. I was like, oh my God. I'm wearing a coat and tie. I mean, that's just. I mean, you're just asking for pit stains if you get married in like August or something.
My parents actually have a summer wedding. Their anniversary is on July 4th.
Wow. My parents were married in February, so see right there. Don't get married in spring. Don't get married in summer or winter. They both our parents got married in summer and winter. So my parents were in February, and yours was in July. 4th of July?
Yeah, 4th of July.
Very, very picture.
See, my personal preference would be more towards fall or winter.
Yeah, it's not so cold. I mean, you don't want to get married, like, middle of winter. You start having, like, ice storms and, you know, winter weather and freezing and shit.
You know how
fall
awesome it would be to fall and bust my ass with ice on the stairs or something like that? Come on.
No, that would be funny.
Yeah, funny. That would be. Can you see me in a white dress slipping down the stairs on my butt?
I see you. I don't know if I see
it. It depends how tall you feel.
A white dress.
Yeah, a white dress.
Yeah. Yeah, I seem like a black.
I guess that would be pretty funny, huh?
That would definitely be a good photo op for your wedding photographer.
No, the question being, though, would you dye your hair for the occasion?
Would I dye my hair?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
For a color scheme match.
That's a good question. I would probably dye my hair pink or something for the occasion. Hot pink. Hot candy.
I don't know.
Okay.
So, tonight we're going to be talking about cryptids. Crazy cryptids.
Huh.
For those who don't know what a cryptid is, they will be beasts that are Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, who people think they see but don't really have any proof. As sightings as far as like physical. I mean, have. In footprints and shit, but like physical, you know, pictures and stuff like that. No tangible evidence of these creatures' existence. Pizza's here. My Shannon, Rihanna, or Rebecca. Sorry. I let my wife fall in my car. So. You guys. Something or what? Come on.
I'm sorry?
Hey. Come on in. Thank you. All right. Thanks. All right. Sorry about that. Little detour here. A little distraction. So would you, I got an article here. Oh, okay, back to normal. I got an article here. The 10 lesser known U.S. monsters and cryptids. Okay? So that's on the internet. It's by Laura Moss. It's actually written October 18, 2012. It's on Mother Nature Network. The first one.
For some reason, man, it always sounds like you're in a fishbowl.
Does it?
And sometimes you'll cut in and out.
Me? My Apple.
No,
my phone.
Oh. Fishbowl.
Is it like that now?
Yeah. Do what?
I don't even know who's talking to me right now, to be honest with you, so.
I was telling you that, yes, you sound like you're in a fishbowl.
Okay. So I sound like I'm in a fishbowl right now?
Kinda.
Okay, well.
Sorry. I don't mean to poke fun at you, but I was wondering if anybody else
heard
you in a fishbowl.
Why not poke fun at me? It's my phone. I mean, I don't have, just got to deal with what I have,
Yeah. The main problem is it's Apple.
Huh?
The main problem is it's an Apple product.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're still on Apple.
Well, I know it's hard to believe, but I'm still on Apple. But, we get through, we're affecting my phone's bad. We can start actually talking about what we're going to talk about.
Sorry. Yeah. So what cryptids were you pulling up?
I actually have an article on the 10 lesser known cryptids. Figured we'd talk about those. Like the skunk ape. Florida. It says this large hairy bipedal mammal is said to inhabit the southern United States, but is most often spotted in Florida. It's its name from its unpleasant odor, which is said to be similar to rotten eggs or methane. The reports of the creature were most common in the 1960s and 70s. Some eggs continue today, but the most famous one took place in 2000. I'm thinking skunk ape is more like the Florida version of the Bigfoot, but it just smells really bad. Hence the name, skunky. So like rotten eggs or methane. God, that's gross, man. You can smell that a mile away. Especially in the summertime, it's going to smell really bad. I guess it's supposed to be like a primate that lives in the swamps of Florida, I guess, maybe in Louisiana. It says, can I keep reading it? It says two photographs of an animal alleged to be the skunk ape were mailed to the Sarasota Sheriff's Department in Florida, along with a letter from a woman who said she'd photographed a creature in her backyard. She said that the cryptid had entered her yard for 3 nights and taken apples from her porch. She was convinced the animal was an escaped orangutan, but the police dispatched to her house several times, never saw the animal. The National Park Service says the skunk ape is a myth that developed from Native American legends. But according to the Skunk Ape Research Headquarters, the creature might be a part of the same species as Bigfoot. So what do you think?
I think it could be a possibility if something like that would exist.
I mean, there are plenty of eyewitnesses that have said have seen it, if there's possibility for Bigfoot to exist, then there's no reason why the skunk ape couldn't exist as well. Oh. And it's hard to, once you get down like the swamps down there, the Everglades, swamps in Louisiana, there are plenty of places for something like that to hide that people can't really get to.
Not only sightings of it have been shown up in like Florida within the swamp. It's also emerged out in North Carolina. It was mostly, I think you said it was mostly in the '60s and the '70s.
Yeah, that's what it said.
The Sarasota County Sheriff's Department, apparently a lady had sent pictures in thinking it was an escaped orangutan, and cryptozoologist believes it was skunk ape.
Yeah, but, I mean, you need to ask if there was a report of an escaped orangutan, if the zoo had been missing a monkey. Because I'm pretty sure if a zoo was missing a monkey, it would be all over the news. Please, contact us. Our monkey's missing or something, And I'm pretty sure, I guess they aren't cheap to replace.
Especially being within a marsh area or a swamp, something's bound to come up smelling pretty raunchy.
No offense. Especially methane gas. Aren't swamp gases made out of methane or, comprised of methane gases?
You get the methane and the ammonia.
Ammonia
type deal.
That's right. I mean, you gotta have the wet fur because you're living near a swamp, and it's gotta be even worse because it's mostly humid down there. So probably I suppose a lot worse than a Bigfoot would smell like up in Canada or whatever because it's not really hot or humid up there. Not that I know of.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a possibility that it might exist. There's been numerous, sightings, give or take, and there's even a video out, I think, from last year, out in March, in the same area from Sarasota. At the Miyaka River State Park, somebody had taken a video of something that they think is a skunk ape.
Nobody can get really close up definitive footage because it's always so far away you can't tell if it's real or fake or whatever.
If it's an actual skunk ape instead of just a regular monkey.
I mean, I guess if it's walking on upright like a man, you can pretty much assume it's a skunk ape. I mean, I know gorillas can walk upright with their arms will be dragging on the ground or whatever.
True.
But, people who dress up like monkeys or skunk apes to fool people have too much time on their hands. Or people who fake Bigfoot evidence. What the hell? What is the point of faking Bigfoot evidence? What do you gain by doing it? Except, pissing people off.
College kids, man, they get drunk all the time and hey man, let's go make a Bigfoot or something.
People be crazy shit when they're drunk, that's for sure, but fucking put on a gorilla costume and go in the woods, hey, we're Bigfoot, yay. More people who actually pay people to make fake models of Bigfoot and try to sell it off and sell tickets to come see a dead Bigfoot. It's like those circus sideshows, when you see the bearded lady and it's just some lady with a fake beard or something. I mean, people try to make money off of that stuff, off of fooling people into believing that, I got evidence of a Bigfoot, which is nothing but a model or whatever. So, what do you think? The skunk ape, are we yay or nay on that?
I'd go yay. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's a good possibility for that, for sure. And like I said, there's a lot of places down in those areas in the swamps where bees can hide that people can't get to because of the alligators and stuff like that. So I'd say yay for that. What do you think, Amber?
Amber? I can barely hear anything that's going on.
Really?
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 I can barely hear you. I heard methane.
Sure, that's all I heard this whole time was methane?
I really can't hear you. Like, I went outside hoping to be able to hear you better, and it's not helping.
Is this better?
I mean, I can hear you now.
I had my mouth right up to the speaker, which means that my ear wasn't towards the earpiece, so I can't hear.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
Can you hear me, Kristen?
Well, damn. I mean, I can hear you. It's just sometimes that when you are talking, you will cut in and out, but
well,
I'm normally...
You guys do the same thing, so I guess it's just, I don't know, maybe the Blog Talk Radio.
I think we need to get you one of those Bluetooth headsets or something.
Looks like an operator.
God, get off my feet.
Thank you for calling customer support.
Have you tried plugging it in? Have you tried turning it on and off? Have you restarted it?
It's not a cup tray. It's, you know, you're not, that CD thing is not for your cup. Try pushing the power button, sir. Let's see. What is next on our list of fun stuff to talk about? What you got, Kristen? Something.
I actually had pulled up an article earlier while I was on my lunch break about a man-eating tree.
A man-eating tree.
Yeah. It's one of the cryptid carnivorous plants, and they're apparently large enough to kill and consume a person or other large animal.
A tree.
It's called the man-eating tree. Yeah. I think it's also... There's different ones, like you've got the Madagascar tree, which is another man-eating tree. What was the giggle for?
Oh, no, I said, I had never heard about any of that. That's all.
Yeah, it's like Fantasy Island shit, you know, like dinosaurs from the world and like man-eating trees,
yeah, Brunger.
Giant spiders.
The Brunger of Australia, the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Fame of the Lost.
Oh, yeah. All
right, tell us about the tree. That's awesome. I want to hear about that.
There's numerous locations for it. The one in Madagascar, it's the earliest well-known report of the man-eating tree. Apparently, it originated as a literary fabrication written by Edmund Spencer. But it was also given further publicity by Madagascar, Land of the Man-Eating Tree, who had been governor of Michigan, saying that there's a tribe down there and the missionaries in Madagascar knew about the hideous tree and they reported about the lich account. I think it's also telling me to see about the vampire vine, which when I'm reading all, when I read all of this, I'm sorry?
I'm saying, was there another link to the vampire vine on the page you were looking at?
Yeah. Like, when I'm reading this, what I'm picturing is, like, this huge Venus flytrap.
That's me. God. But I don't think it's a flytrap. They, like, suck the juices out of the bugs. Ugh, man.
Well, the vampire vines in Nicaragua, by the natives, it's called the Devil's Snare, where it has the capability to drain the blood out of any living thing that comes within its touch. So, like, I'm thinking maybe for sustenance, what it does is it'll, like, wrap around, or if you touch it, it just kind of latches on like a leech, and it's like, hey, look, food.
Damn, I thought poison ivy was bad. Jeez.
There was a gentleman who's a naturalist.
Not a calamine lotion for that shit, that's for sure.
Start squirting vinegar on it. Let go.
That's right. I need some aloe quick. It burns.
But,
Shit.
There's a gentleman who's he was a naturalist. His name was Mr. Dunstan. He went down to Central America, where he spent about 2 years studying the flora and the fauna of the country. And he was hunting for botanical specimens when he heard his dog cry out in agony from a distance. And when he ran to go find him, found him enveloped in a perfect network of, like, fine rope tissue of rope fibers. And the guy that was with him told him that it's the devil's snare and just started telling him stories upon stories upon stories about how, like, smaller animals and people had been caught up in this. And
the dog dead.
Huh?
The dog dead?
It didn't go on into, like, any kind of details about the dog being dead or anything. But from what he had studied from the plant is it can only be torn away with loss of skin or even flesh, and it is a power of the suction that's contained in, like, little mouths or suckers that open for the reception of food. And if the substance is an animal or a person, of course, it's the blood is drawn off of the carcass, refuses to drop it.
Well, so I think we pretty much assumed the dog was dead.
The first one you were talking about was, what was it, just a Madagascar tree, the Yativio?
No, this one's a vampire vine in Nicaragua.
The first thing
you were talking about was the Madagascar.
The Madagascar tree.
Tree of death.
Yeah.
Okay, because there's another one called Yativio, or I See You Tree, or I See You Already, something like that. It's similar to the Devil's Snare. Y-A-S-T-E-V-E-O. Yativio.
Yeah.
Something like that. I can't pronounce it, whatever.
Always the easy words to say.
Apparently it has, like, the stems that resemble serpents, occasionally darting from side to side, as a striking and an imaginary foe while attempting to consume humans.
Hmm.
That's what you're talking about? That's the only information that it gives, is that it's like a giant octopus tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty freaky.
Yeah.
Pretty freaky.
That's kind of scary.
Oh, he'd be gone with me. die. Damn. So, man.
Oh, you were hiking through the jungle. No, that's cool. I'm hungry. I'm gonna eat you.
Yeah, exactly. You think about killer ants. They can kill you with one bite, like a python, and that just you don't have enough to worry about when you're in the jungle. Now you have fucking killer trees to add to the list. You know?
The one thing that pops into my mind is, release the Kraken.
Exactly. Never going to go outside again. The grass can kill you.
That's what I
said. That's what you get up on lawn and the grass starts eating you.
Oh, my God.
Truly grass in outer space.
I'm a horrible person.
So what do you think? Are you, I don't know. I don't know if I believe in the killer trees, to be honest with you.
The vampire vine?
That seems far-fetched.
I don't know. The vampire vine I could believe in.
I believe.
Because, I mean, like I said, look at the Venus flytrap.
What? No, yeah. Yeah, I guess if it goes deeper enough into the jungle or is not disturbed, a plant like a Venus flytrap could grow big enough to consume small animals. I don't know about humans. But
well, I mean, if something grabs onto you,
like,
the only way to... Sorry.
Unless there's, like, a witness that sees someone get eaten and comes back and, you know, has pictures of it. That's just hard. I'll put that in a maybe category for me. I mean, probably not. I'd probably say no for that. I'm going to go for
I mean, at least the vampire vine, because there's an actual botanist that his dog had got caught up in it, and he actually went and, you know, tried to at least attempt to study it.
Yeah, okay. I can do that. Because it's a smaller animal. I mean, I don't know about if there are any written accounts as far as, like, newspaper accounts of people, actual people being eaten by a vine.
They'd have to get a hell of a lot of stitches, though, if it's ripping flesh off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably go around it personally. Just, I'm going to walk around, so can't take the long way. Take the scenic route.
Blood sucking vine. Oh, stay over there. Here, have a chicken.
So cute.
So it's sacrificing chickens to your backyard.
Throwing chickens at the vine. Get away.
Here, eat this. I'm not tasty.
No, I don't taste like chicken, but this does.
I'm not worthy.
We are
but worms.
That's right. Okay.
Speaking of worms.
So we have a man-eating tree, and we have a smelly ape as our cryptid so far.
There's also the Mongolian death worm, since...
Oh, yes.
Since Amber wanted to say, worm. We are but worms.
I think we discussed Mongolian death worm. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Raw. It's so metal. It's so metal that it lives in the Gobi Desert. Again, in Mongolia.
It's hardcore. Before hardcore is cool.
The picture I saw, for some reason, reminds me of a tapeworm.
Tapeworms.
Yeah, tasty.
Yummy. Just like chicken. If worms tasted like chicken. All right, tell me about the Mongolian death worm. Death worm, not death worm. I can't hear.
It's still up for debate on whether or not it's real. It is known for its ability to slay enemies by spewing acid. And apparently it can also send out jolts of electricity. Some Mongolians said that they have claimed that the worm measures 2 to 5 feet in length. Chapman, he's a paleontologist who didn't believe the bizarre tales, but apparently everybody in Mongolia that he had talked to seemed extremely convinced of the worm's existence, despite never seeing it for themselves. So it's up
to debate
whether or not.
Well, that's what happens when a story goes around like that. It's a mass delusion, I guess it would be called.
Uh-huh. Mind over matter
like,
doesn't come into fact for this.
No, I'm just saying, like, if all these people, you know, come to believe in the existence of it without any of them having seen it for themselves, you know, going off of one person's word, I guess, it's kind of...
Well, look at Greek mythology. I mean, a lot of people, it's just, Minotaur, it's got to exist. Medusa, she's got to be real because, you know, everyone just believed it. Everyone believed there was a big old palace in the sky and all the gods were up there controlling the sun, the moon, the stars, the seas. That's how folk...
Well, then you could say that about any religion, couldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can. That's what I'm saying. It's got to start somewhere.
Mass delusion.
meow.
I'm such an asshole.
That's okay. I'm going to give you a little fun fact, though, about the death worm. It was, it served as inspiration for Tremors.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to say, like, the sandworms and Beetlejuice or something.
No. Tremors. And... possibly the worm alien in Men in Black.
Oh.
So yeah, there's no proof. No living proof, but Mongolians are convinced it exists.
Well, I guess if you hear a story over and over again, you get, you get convinced that it's got to be true. So there's no actual proof or anything.
Yeah, it's that whole, it just comes into your head so many times that it starts to become true.
Yeah, well, they said, but look, I mean, going back to like the Black Eyed Kids, people there, actually there are people who have seen it. But how did the story even start? The Mongolian death form story.
I don't know. I think it'd be like their rendition. Being a tapeworm or something, it's a possibility. I'm just saying. Those things are nasty and disgusting, and they do kind of like leech onto your intestines. And so, I don't know about jolts of electricity, but or spewing acid, or how that came into play. And apparently it's supposed to be bright
red. I guess
red.
Just added on to the legend, I guess.
Or it could have been a snake.
Could be.
Could have been a desert snake.
That's possible.
Maybe they added extra stuff to the legend to make it sound scary to scare kids or something. Keep wandering off.
Like La La
Rona. Don't you go outside the tent at night.
Yeah, we're, people wandering off of the tents or whatever they're living in back then.
I mean, there's a lot of stories of, I guess that's more urban legend stuff. Like, son of a bitch! You definitely just set that on my fuck.
Huh. Okay.
Did my worm get you? Are you okay?
Do what? Huh?
That's an Amber from Mongolian death worm got her, and if she's okay.
Yeah. Speak of the devil.
No, that's what happens when somebody sets a lit cigarette near you and it falls right by your ass and sits there and burns you.
That would get my attention.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
I think now I want to talk about my favorite beast to say, the
boner.
The what?
The Snallygaster. Snallygaster. The Blue Ridge Mountains area was settled by German immigrants beginning in the 1730s. Early accounts describe the community being terrorized by a monster called a Snallygeist, meaning quick spirit in German. It has been suggested that the legend was resurrected in the 19th century to frighten freed slaves. Reports of a strange flying beast known as the Snallygaster first appeared in Frederick County in early February 1909. The story was carried prominently in Middletown's Valley Register, the weekly newspaper, for about a month. The story mysteriously disappeared. In the early issues, the flying beast seemed to be everywhere at once, New Jersey, West Virginia, Ohio, and headed this way. It was reported to have created quite a stir in New Jersey, where its footprints were discovered in the snow. The first person to see it, James Harding, described it as having enormous wings, a long sharp beak, claws like steel, and one eye in the middle of its forehead. He said it made shrill screeching noises and looked like a cross between a tiger and a vampire. A vampire may have been a good description, for it was reported to have killed a man. Bill Gifferson was pierced by piercing his neck with a sharp bill and slowly sucking his blood. It was also seen in West Virginia, where it almost caught a woman near Scrabble, roosted in Alex Crow's barn, laid an egg near Sharpsburg, where it was reported some man had rigged up an incubator to try to hatch it. T.C. Harbaugh of Cassetown, Ohio, wrote a letter to the Valley Register in early 1909, telling of a strange beast that flew over his head, making terrible screeching noises. Harbaugh described it as having two huge wings, a large horny head, and a tail 20 feet long. He said it looked as though it was headed this way. So
it's kind of like a wendigo?
It's just like a giant freaking mosquito with a big old.
Okay.
That's like a sword coming out of its mouth.
So you said it was like a mix between a tiger and a what?
Yeah, a vampire. He said it made shrill screeching noises. What? And it looked like a cross between a tiger and a vampire.
That makes no sense. Like, when
what
I hear...
I was reading what it wrote, what they said.
Like, I mean, sit there and say that it's like a cross between a tiger and a vampire, that puts into my head, like, maybe a two-legged that could become a four-legged creature with, like, really sharp, elongated teeth and possible stripes, but walks like a human.
Here's one. Newspaper accounts throughout February and March 1909 describe encounters between local residents and a beast with enormous wings, a long, pointed bill, claws like steel hooks, and eye in the center of its forehead. It was described as making screeches like a locomotive whistle. A great deal of publicity surrounded this string of appearances.
Well, not necessarily.
No institution offered a word for the hide. U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt reportedly considered postponing an African safari to present the beach.
That's not necessarily.
So, that should give you better description. It's also said the Salagaster was described as half reptile, half bird, with a metallic beak, with lined with sharp, razor-sharp teeth, occasionally with octopus-like tentacles. It swooped silently from the sky to pick up and carry off its victims. The early stories claim that this monster sucked the blood of its victims.
Huh.
The 7-pointed star, which reportedly kept the big sky caster at bay, can still be seen painted on local bars. So it's like, I don't know, it's got a bird's head and it has tentacles and shit.
Like a dragon / octopus / train.
Yeah.
A dragon octopus train?
Yes.
This sounds like a dirty Japanese film.
It's got a head of a bird, like a body of an octopus or something.
And wings.
Oh, man.
It sounds like a whistling locomotive.
Yeah, it's kind of like a locomotive whistle when it makes a noise, or screeching sound like a locomotive whistle.
So, how many sightings of?
Well, I think most of them happened. Happened in the 1800s, and then they started. The legend was resurrected in the 19th century, but the newspaper accounts started picking up encounters 1909, so early 1900s, late 1800s is when.
And that was in America.
Yes, Frederick, Maryland, that area, West Virginia, New Jersey.
Huh.
I think most of the settlers were German in that particular area, and I think this Snallygaster is a German legend.
Okay, I have.
Fine with them.
I just found. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go first.
Go ahead. Oh, I'm done.
Oh my God, somebody go.
Shut up, Amber. What do you know about the snow yet? No, I'm kidding. Please don't hate me. three fun facts about it apparently is, let's see, where did it go? I just saw it. Roosevelt actually, there it is. Theodore Roosevelt reportedly considered postponing an African safari to personally hunt the beast. because the Smithsonian Institution was offering a reward for the hide. And apparently in the 1730s, in the German immigrants, they called the monster the Schnellergeist, meaning quick spirit. Thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's also been suggested that the legend was resurrected in the 19th century to frighten freed slaves. And
yeah, I mean,
seven-pointed stars can keep them at bay.
It's an interesting legend. That's for sure. It seems like
The fact that a president wanted to hunt one, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of gives it a little bit of credibility, I guess.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, it's better, more of a credibility than the Mongolian death war or whatever. Doesn't have any kind of proof.
Apparently, the Snellygaster only has one widely known enemy called the Dewayo. It's reported to be a mammalian biped with features similar to a wolf, but stands in stature of a human, so kind of like a werewolf. And they've reportedly had vicious encounters together dating back to the early settlement of the Middletown Valley. That's interesting.
So it is.
Cool.
Got one. It has its own enemy. You only hear many cryptids having an enemy. You know, there's no, like, Bigfoot versus...
Yeah,
Godzilla,
that is
so.
Kind of strange, huh?
Yeah. But, you know...
Godzilla.
The way it was reported to be a... Like, it looks like a man, walks like a man, but it looks like a wolf, so it would be a werewolf. I mean...
Ooh, I love to see some lycanthropy.
So
the whale versus the Snallygaster.
Who do you think would win?
So are we going like Godzilla with this or something?
Huh?
I said, so is this like Godzilla or something? I mean,
I mean,
Godzilla's got you with Mothra and.
The Snallygaster and the whale. I think Snellygaster would kick his ass, personally. You know, I mean, what do you think? Snellygaster's got tentacles, got like a razor sharp beak, can make like a train whistle sound. I mean,
choo choo.
That's right. Woof woof. Time to ride the train.
Toot toot, fire's over here, guys.
That's right. I'm the Snellygaster. I mean, he's probably, you know, Snallygaster's got to be pissed off because, you know, all the other monsters make it like, really, Snallygaster? Seriously?
I don't know, for some reason, when you said
no.
Snallygaster being mean because people were making fun of his name,
no,
all of a sudden, Finding Nemo pops into my head. He touched a butt.
Okay, so speaking of Finding Nemo, I'm sorry, but I love to share this little tidbit of this information with people, and it is a true fact. Remember the little pink blob guy? I inked myself.
Oh, guys, you made me ink.
Yeah. when he says, I've got one tentacle that's shorter than the other. Yeah, he was showing off his penis. Because in creatures like that, they do have one tentacle that's shorter than the other, and that is their penis.
Well, that's just
letting you know.
That's just like, what was it, the Lion King? Something in the clouds?
The penises and the little mermaids and all that stuff.
I mean, come on. If parents are going to be forced to sit and watch cartoons with their kids, you got to throw something in there for them, right?
Well, I mean, it's got more than that. I don't need to see a penis in the Little Mermaid's castle. It does nothing for me. Like, oh, yes, the penis. I love this movie now. It does not. Well, we've almost got past the first hour of our show. So now we're going to take a little bit of a halftime break here. Listen to a little bit of music. We'll be back in like 3 or 4 minutes. Alright?
Okay, 10-4.
Dang. baby, come, come, come.
Welcome
that.
Back to the Smut Hut.
Right at the house.
Oh, my bad.
Oh. So that was fun. Trying to get my jam on. Little jam session. Amber.
Yes.
You want to talk about?
Actually. I keep bringing it up. I'm sorry. The Brunger.
Yes. Yeah. I thought you were sending me a typo when you said it to me earlier in the text message.
No.
What the hell's
It was not a typo. It was actually it was featured on Destination Truth.
Okay.
And it is a 25-foot long lizard that resembles T-Rex or the Megaraptor, you know, something like that.
Uh-huh.
It is described as being a giant lizard according to Aboriginal mythology. Based on sightings, it's 25 feet long, has small clawed hands, and walks on two bipedal legs. Started through the 1950s, Australian cattle ranchers were reporting a large creature leaving bipedal tracks that was eating all of their livestock. Earlier Aboriginal accounts suggested it was a reptilian animal, possibly with feathers, that was eating kangaroos and other large animals. If it weren't for the bipedal footprint sightings, the Brunger could have also been a megalania, a prehistoric giant monitor lizard, which that's pretty believable right there.
Yeah.
Like a giant freaking monitor lizard, hell yeah. But
I can
as
believe
it
that.
Was bipedal, you know.
Is there
I mean,
any way
they found footprints
for it.
Huh?
Is there any way a monitor lizard could stand up on 2 feet?
I don't think they found, like, I think it was only two-footed tracks. I don't think it was any on all fours.
And that was, you said, the 1950s?
Before that, too, but the 1950s was when the cattle ranchers were reporting that something large was eating all of their livestock. And let's see. It looks like the guy that made a casting of the footprint, he discovered it on the Gulf of Carpentaria. His name is Rex Gilroy.
Rex Gilroy.
Funny, his name is Rex. Yeah. Information on that real quick. Yeah, big giant dinosaur.
big giant dinosaur. Okay, Kristen's back on.
So, big giant ceiling cows. You would think that a big giant dinosaur would have a hard time finding a place to hide.
I know, especially out in like
giant.
Australia.
Or outback. And if it's...
Well, actually, it looks like it is remote wilderness, not a lot of people living there. There's another account from 1978 with a bushman and explorer, Brian Clark, while mustering cattle, again with the cows and stuff. He was in Arnhem Land. It took him 3 days to find his way out of the region and back to his house. Like,
you would think if they're cows, they need pastures, places to graze and stuff, like these grass fields, you know? If a giant dinosaur or giant big lizard is coming out of the field where there's no trees and grabbing cows, I mean, somebody would probably pick up on that.
Well, I mean, all right, considering the fact that we have cattle on our farm, at least during the summer, we have a little bit of a wooded area in our field where they sit and lay and do whatever, and they do eat dry leaves and stuff other than just grass. So, I mean, the wooded area, especially in the summertime, would be a great hacienda for them. But
if you saw a dinosaur, if there's a dinosaur in that wooded area, you'd probably be able to see it, all right?
How tall is it?
It's only 25, like, it's 20 to 25 feet long, and it stands on two legs.
That's a pretty big deal.
True. I was actually giggling because God save us if they ever bring any of them over to the U.S., but if they do, it would keep Clive and Bundy in check.
That's true.
But no. Yeah, I mean, it's
actually
a 25-foot dinosaur.
It looks like there were sightings all the way up through the 80s. And beyond that, like, the most recent thing that went on with it was, of course, it was on Destination Truth. That was a few years ago, though. But they didn't catch anything.
They never catch anything on that show.
Did they have any cows?
That's not true.
They caught anything on that show.
When they went into that cave in I want to say Malaysia, they, like, it was a supposedly haunted cave, and it was
catch ghost
full
stuff.
Of lion and stuff like that. They did catch voices and whatnot.
Are you talking about the one with the casket wall?
Spirit cave? With what?
It had the wall with the caskets, kind of.
No, this was just a cave that the locals were afraid of. I think it was in Malaysia. It was actually a really, really cool one. Like, I remember there were voices and shit. That one was cool.
I do remember that. And they usually catch stuff when they look for spirits. But when they're looking for monsters as cryptids, they never really catch anything.
It was in Indonesia. And it was actually, you're going to laugh at me, it was the same episode as the one with the Burunder. It was the same episode.
Okay.
That'd be the coolest job ever, though. Paid to go out and check out all these legends and shit. I mean, that would be awesome. I would definitely enjoy that job.
Huh.
For sure. Wow, we are. Yeah, it has been just us this whole night tonight. Don't know if people are listening to us online. If you are, hello.
Oh my God! I'm gonna.
The damn snallygaster got her again.
Oh no!
No, it's my fucking dog. Get it. Cut you. God. Oh, I'm just going to bark for no reason. Hell yeah. Little asshole.
So what is this? What was the, is it a Burunder? That's the name of the giant lizard that no one can see?
Yes. That was Australia.
What do you think?
I don't know. People can't see a 20 to 25-foot long dinosaur coming out to eat your cows. They need glasses.
They need to put down the Fosters, you know, take the shrimp off the Bobby, and pay attention. Because you got to try and lift the cows. shit.
Well, it's the I don't know. That's some crazy stuff. But I don't know. I don't know what the terrain is out there to, you know.
I think it's all kinds of stuff. I know they have deserts out there in Australia. They have forests and stuff.
Now, see, it says 20 feet tall. It doesn't say anything about length.
Oh, because you said length.
No, 20 feet tall.
It depends on how big
the
trees are, how far they're spaced apart, and how agile this creature can be.
It's going to be knocking.
Well, I mean, by the looks of it, if it's a 20-foot tall thing that looks like a freaking raptor, no, because that's a really long animal.
Yeah, and it's gonna be knocking over trees and stuff. It's gonna be commotion. It can't be like nimble and walking around on tiptoes trying to sneak up on the cows or whatever.
since we're
oh my
on,
god, cat, you scared the shit
Australia
out of me
at the moment. Little interesting fact about Australia is kangaroos used to be cryptids. I think it was back when Europeans started their early exploration of Australia. They described the bizarre creatures that, you know, sometimes, quote unquote, sported two heads, one on their shoulders and one in their stomach. And that didn't change until like the 1770s. And they figured out that it was a marsupial, and the two heads was the babies and the pouch and everything like that.
I guess every beast is a cryptid until it's discovered.
True, like the platypus or the Komodo dragon.
Yeah, well, look at all the animals on the Galapagos Islands. You know, like the giant turtle.
Think of all the
stuff
that we're
stuff
still
like
kind
that.
Of discovering. Like, wasn't it a couple years back they discovered a new species of, like, fish or something?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of fish that have been discovered, deep in, like, the trenches of the oceans that no one can get to, but finally to be able to send, like, submarines down there and take pictures of these fish that nobody knew even existed.
Yeah, there's new creatures breeding every day. So There's so many different types of animals and so many undiscovered.
The sea serpent. The sea serpent was the one that was actually filmed for the first time in 2001. The American... All right. It's... From the northern European waters and the eastern North American coast, tales of the serpentine aquatic beast of colossal proportions dot the globe. Descriptions vary, ranging from horse-headed creatures to massive snakes. So the sea serpent sighting, they've been like an elusive species. It's one of them was the oarfish or the ribbonfish. Is massively elongated fish found worldwide. It's the longest of all the fish and the largest recorded being about 56 feet in length. They typically dwell deep in the ocean, but occasionally they wash ashore in storms and linger on the surface when they're near death. So that's one cryptid that was recently discovered being actual real and photographed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they got those giant octopuses, like, I guess, the Kraken, or giant squid, I guess, that exists. You know, I don't think they're, like, tearing down ships or whatever. You know, but they're proven that those exist.
What, giant squids and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we haven't been able to explore the deep, deep sea, so who knows what the fuck is out there. Have you guys heard the loudest noise ever recorded?
No.
It is actually, it is like a big, deep rumble. And the location that it was placed at is the location, like the specific coordinates that H.P. Lovecraft wrote about for Cthulhu, or Cthulhu, or however you want to say it. Lovecraft, am I wrong? Am I retarded?
No.
I have no idea. It sounds smart to me, so I'm just going to go with it.
I think
no, it is Lovecraft. I'm not wrong. I'm not retarded.
Okay, see, sounds smart, like I said.
But, I mean, H.P. Lovecraft, his story was, mythological. Like, he faked it. He wrote it, and I'm kind of drunk. Leave me alone.
Why are
I wish
you
I
sharing?
Was. I got a sip of Coke right now.
But, no, loudest noise ever recorded. Deep, deep in the ocean. So, I mean, we can't get out there to see what the hell it was, but it only happened once.
I think I do remember hearing about that. You know what, Amber? This is totally off topic, but I was listening to Darkness Radio on Friday night. You know that article you found about the girl who was found in the water tank?
Yes.
And the hotel? They're actually thinking about making a movie about that.
Really?
Yes. I think that's what it is.
That's pretty cool.
I think
cool.
That's what they said. Yeah. Yes. I remember that article. And they're saying how they're looking at, they had a video of the girl and.
Yeah, on the elevator. I tried showing you that night.
And she was looking really, really.
Creepy.
Yeah, she's looking really freaked out. Like somebody was following her. And the people who ran the hotel was like, there's no way someone could get in there, in that water tower, without being forced in there. She's like,
yeah.
No way, unless she's some kind of contortionist, she cannot get in to that water tower without something physically pushing her in or, I don't know, mangling her so she got in. But I don't think she was found mangled. So I don't know. They have no idea how she got in that water, or how she got in the water tower without help or without assistance or whatever. When I heard them talking about that, I was like, oh, I remember that article. It's pretty cool. It's not cool, for her anyways, but, I thought that was pretty neat. But I have a while ago, kind of had the ball on that one. I got to talk about the monster, or sorry, I'll be mean.
It was?
Cryptid. I want to talk about a cryptid that was actually spotted in Virginia. There's actually one spotted in Richland County. Your attention, cryptid, Kristen. They're called the devil monkeys.
Those damn devil monkeys.
Yes. Yes. This is actually an article written in a book called Weird Virginia. It goes, encountering a huge hairy creature as you're on a peaceful hike in the woods can be unnerving. But what frightens Virginians more may be the giant primate known as devil monkey. Red-eyed, cave-dwelling, aggressive to dogs, and possibly to man. These creatures are nothing like the rather shy Bigfoot. Witnesses say that the beasts that have come to be called devil monkeys are baboon or dog-like with dark, mean eyes and pointed ears. They are short to shaggy hair, varying in color from gray to red to black. Their large, flat feet tend to narrow somewhat as they lengthen in adulthood. Footprints are usually about 12 inches long, but tracks up to 15 inches have been found. Each foot bears three rounded toes, usually of the same size and length as regular spacing between each one. The leaping mode of locomotion is one of the major reasons that some
observers have
said devil monkeys would confuse devil monkeys with kangaroos. In Virginia, as well as some other southern states, it appears we may be dealing with a kind of giant baboon, but one that leaps as kangaroos do. Thus the files of cryptozoologists, researchers who specialize in the study of animals unknown to mainstream science,
have been filled with reports of mystery kangaroos that may infect the devil monkeys. Many eyewitnesses have commented on the creature's aggression. They don't back down when confronted by dogs and humans. Though generally thought to be vegetarians, they may kill livestock in small game. To add to the hair-raising picture, they exhibit a wide range of primate hoots, calls, screeches, and whistles, and blood-chilling screams. And to top things off, they smell very, very bad. So bad that some people call them funky. In 2000, cryptozoologist Chad Harman examined the sightings of creatures that may have been devil monkeys experienced by one Virginia family, the Boyds, and their friends. The sightings stretch over a long period from 1959 to the 1990s in the mountains around Saltville. It started when the parents of ghost investigators, Pauline Boyd and James Boyd, experienced a 1959 attack on their automobile by a creature that had light taffy-colored hair with a white blaze down its neck and underbelly. It stood on two large, well-muscled back legs and had shorter front legs or arms, and left three scratch marks on the car, apparently put there by its limbs, by its front limbs. Armit quotes Pauline as saying, "Several days after this incident, two nurses in the Saltville area were driving home from work early one morning and were attacked by an unknown creature who ripped the convertible top from their car. The nurses managed to escape without injury, but they were badly shaken." Two friends of Pauline's recorded a recent encounter, also from a car, of a similar creature named near Saltville. The beast crossed the road in front of them, jumped a ditch line, went over a fence, and then moved through high weeds lining the road, only to disappear into ground cover. Pauline Boyd said, according to all witnesses, this animal was unlike any they had seen before. Walking on all four legs, it stood around 3 feet high, covered in shaggy, rough, graying brown fur. It had a long muzzle and a pink and long white ears. The legs of the creature were short, with two hind legs much larger than the front and sporting long kangaroo-like rear feet. Claws were evident on both the hind and smaller front feet. If this creature had stood on these powerful-looking hind legs, they stated it would have been at least 5.5 to 6 feet tall. It also sported a long, hairless, possum-like, was the term they used, tail. They moving quickly, it gave the appearance in its gait and gray mottled fur of being an older animal. They flushed in amazement as it quickly disappeared from sight. Virginia's devil monkeys have never been identified as any known creature, but though their origins elude researchers, the creatures themselves haunt the state to this day. So, devil monkeys.
I personally haven't seen the devil monkey here in Goochland, but I have heard accounts from people saying that they swear they've seen them running across their backyard and stuff like that, and there is a person in Goochland who said that one killed his dog.
Well, if anything, you should definitely switch the Goochland High School mascot to the Goochland High School devil monkeys.
Funny story is we used to have an ice cream parlor named the Devil Monkey Ice Cream.
I know a lot of Jersey have the Jersey Devil, you know, Jersey Devil ice cream, Jersey Devil, you know.
I mean, you can.
Like the Goochland County Tourism Board and, you know, told them to make up Devil Monkey T-shirts. I'd buy one. It sounds like it's a fucking monkey kangaroo mix to me.
Since there was so much talk and everything, the sheriff's office pretty much ignored it and everything. But I mean, there's even a video out on YouTube about a Goochland sighting, but I don't know if I haven't seen it. I just kind of offhandedly threw my hands up, and I was like, "You've got to be kidding me, devil monkey, seriously?"
Well,
did they say?
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, never seen it. It actually smells bad, like a skunk ape. But skunk apes, you know, walk on their hind legs, are more human-like.
Well, the devil monkey apparently walks on two legs too, but kind of
well, hops on two legs. It's like hops around like a kangaroo. It's got the big hind legs, small arms. So it's hopping around, screaming, smelling all bad and shit.
I got long legs and little arms.
That's what I was thinking about that with the fongeroo, whatever.
So I got long legs, little arms.
Little like transformers trying to pick up a cow with little small arms and shit.
Probably why it goes after the smaller animals. But apparently over in, oh gosh, the life of me, I can't remember the name of the place. But they've been known to attack dogs, small children, and even attack cars or chase cars. So.
Yeah, they're vegetarians too, so just pissed off animals.
Makes no sense if it goes after people and dogs, though.
Well, maybe it's just attacking because it's pissed off the world because they know it's not bad.
They're always taking pissing them off.
If we're going to talk about cryptids that have actual proof of being around, the Canvey Island Monster. Over in England, apparently one of the carcasses for this was actually found and photographed back in 1954 or 1953. It was described as being about 2.5 foot long with thick reddish brown skin, bulging eyes and gills, kind of like a mix between a like partial tadpole slash frogfish type deal. It had five-toed horseshoe-shaped feet and could possibly walk on two legs. It didn't have any hands or arms. And I think it weighed about 25 pounds. People are thinking it's some type of anglerfish that the fins have been mistaken for feet and stuff like that. Or they've also called them frogfish, which do in fact walk on their leg like fins and have the bulging eyes and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Oh.
There's been some speculation about it, apparently. They went out to try to see if there were any information on the sightings, and there were no official records, and they're thinking that it was an anglerfish that was mistaken for incorrectly described hind legs, and it was the fins and everything. But the picture looks crazy. It looks like the tail. It looks like a snake. The tail literally looks like a snake, and I can't really tell. It's a black and white picture. And it's kind of fuzzy. You can't really tell if it's fins or hind legs. And it's got the frog / big mess fish mouth.
I found something, guys. I found a recent sighting of the Snallygaster. 2008.
Ooh.
Yeah, it says, sightings began in the Prohibition era, and the Snallygaster was the biggest bet is that 2,500-gallon vat of moonshine. So if you're going to die, you're going to die in a 2,500-gallon vat of moonshine.
That'd be a
yeah, there's a ghost smile on your face. In 1973, the Snallygaster reappeared, even more wicked and frightening than before.
1994. After briefly terrorizing the residents of Sykesville, disappeared into the depths of Patapsco Valley State Park, until recently, that is. Not long ago, this is actually 2008. Hang on. Not long ago, we were hiking along River Road and heard a terrible screeching sound. We thought it was the sound of a train that had gone wrong on the tracks, but there wasn't a train in sight. It felt as if the temperature dropped by 20 degrees and the shadow of an enormous beast coasted overhead. The sound of gas has returned. We followed the trail off of River Road and came upon a strange clearing in the woods, and there we found the nest. It was littered with miscellaneous small trinkets, presumably treasures it took from its victims. Much to our surprise, we find an egg already hatched. Snallygaster has spawned. They are probably everywhere by now. Choose to look for the Snallygaster's nest. Do not look in or on the structures. You will pass on your journey. So it's in the Patapsco Valley State Park, apparently. Snallygaster's back.
Aw, snap.
Oh, yeah, Snallygaster. Snallygaster!
What about the chupacabra?
Hey, the goat sucker, whatever it's called.
The goat sucker.
Goat sucker.
Goat sucker, goat. Just be like, you chupacabra.
I don't know. I don't really find chupacabra that frightening, but
I don't know, man. Like, back in Mocha, apparently they called it a vampire. It was like 1975. They had similar animal killings with like the three puncture wounds and the animals being drained of blood and everything like that. But that was suspected initially that the killings were committed by a satanic cult. But afterwards, there was more killings around the islands in many forms, reported loss of animal life. So,
well, I would be scared of the, I guess if I was a farmer and I had goats, and I'd be more worried about the goats, you know, being in danger, because I'd have to buy more goats if they were having their blood sucked. But
well, people have tried to come up with like explanation of how they could have come into origin and stuff. Some people said that the chupacabra reports in the United States were coyotes infected with parasites, the Sarcoptes garbel, which would explain the features of the chupacabra, which would be left with little fur, thickened skin, and a rank odor. But the question with that would be, if it was a coyote, why only three puncture wounds and being drained of blood instead of ripped apart?
If people try to find a natural explanation for it, even if natural explanation doesn't even make sense, you know, I mean, just when do coyotes drink blood?
Yeah. So.
If a coyote drinks blood, that's a cryptid in itself. A vampire coyote. Yeah, that's another monster you have to find. You know. They're trying to discount cryptids by making another cryptid.
Yeah, pretty much. But they were originally described as bipeds with thick leathery skin and spikes coming off their back and stuff like that. So, who knows? But for them to say that it's a coyote that has mange and some other parasite doesn't make any sense to me.
I think the pictures that people have sent in claiming to be the chupacabra have
said that's more of a coyote or a dog with mange, not really a chupacabra.
Yeah.
And I've seen pictures like there's one creature they found on the beach or something that had no hair on it, and you know, and people they send in the picture, and there's a chupacabra ended up being a dog with mange or something like that.
I don't know. I don't live in Mexico. I don't plan on going to Mexico anytime soon either.
Yeah, if you're in Mexico, if you go to Mexico, don't bring your goat down there.
At least you got a pet one. Take a wild one just to see what happens.
Yeah. You know, because I take my pet goat everywhere I go. My goat, my goat, wherever I go, he goes. My goat and me.
Awesome.
Hey guys, I'm gonna have to dip out early because my phone will not charge and it's at 6%.
Right,
you're
well,
not allowed.
My for some reason my charger doesn't want to work and it keeps saying connect to a power outlet to charge device and exit unused applications and task manager. Continued usage while charging may prevent efficient charging. Yeah.
Should have an
app. So I'm gonna have to go early. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'll let it slide this time.
Well, it was good to talk with you guys. I will talk to you next week and hopefully be on for the full time then. Well, I mean, I'm gonna talk to you before then, but
yeah.
You better. Right. By the way, I need you to call me tomorrow. Amber?
She's gone.
Poop.
She's like, I'll like forget you.
That's okay. I'll catch you on Facebook.
Okay, now we're going to talk about the where am I? The Pope Lick Monster. Making some popes.
Who the what?
The Pope Lick Monster. This is
Pope
in
Lick.
Pope Lick, like Pope John Paul, P-O-P-E, Lick, like licking a lollipop, monster as in monster. Pope Lick Monster.
We go around licking popes?
Oh, yes. Yes. Apparently he has got pictures of popes and he just licks them.
But, ooh, you're a nice,
lick it.
You're a nice
ooh,
looking
baby.
Pope. Lick.
This legendary human goat hybrid has a deformed human torso, goat legs, and horned head. It's said to haunt the railway trestle over Pope Lick Creek in Louisville, Kentucky. Numerous urban legends exist about the creature's origins. Some stories say the monster is a circus freak who vowed revenge after his mistreatment, while others claim it's a reincarnated farmer who sacrificed goats in exchange for satanic power. Yep, here we go with goats again. Told you, I love goats. Stories of how it claims its victims are equally diverse. Many believers think it uses voice mimicry to lure trespassers through their deaths before oncoming trains. Some say it slays victims with an axe, while others say that simply the sight of the Pope-like monster is so terrifying that people jump to their deaths. These legends have turned the public train trestle into a destination for thrill seekers. And there have been a number of deaths at the location despite the 8-foot fence meant to keep visitors out. Pope Lick Monster. That seems to be more
of a
question to me.
So this is kind of like a siren.
Yeah,
or like, siren. Or, like, the troll that guards the bridge, like the Billy Goat's Gruff, you know?
Yeah.
Funny man.
Who dares pass this bridge?
Yeah. You shall not pass.
All right, Gandalf. Not Gandalf. Yeah, Gandalf.
That's right. Or the Black Knight. None shall pass.
All right, so it's a mix between a siren and a fawn. I don't know. For some reason, that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it's mixing the legends up between, like, the sirens. It's like, but I think the Pope-led monster would mimic someone's voice. I guess maybe a loved one's voice. And so you hear your mom calling you, and you go walking towards it, and it's not really your mom. It's the...
It's the Pope-led.
Yeah, how does your how's the Pope-led monster know what your mom or your loved one sounds like? Just unless he can read your thoughts and he can mimic it that way, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's like a siren or something. Siren uses like music or has a special kind of voice that's so great, wonderful to hear that you can't control yourself, and you're just being led there. You're almost like you're in a trance, and then you get drowned or whatever.
Huh.
So I think it's a little bit different than the sirens. The same kind of concept, I guess. If it's mimicking the voices.
Yeah.
That sounds more, I don't know what it sounds like, but it sounds...
I don't know, it is just...
More trickery.
Than anything else.
Yeah, I don't think... Like you said, urban legend... Unless there's been any, like, recent sightings and no deaths involved.
I think they may have started the legend just to keep it away from the train trestles. But that kind of backfired because now everyone wants to see it. So they're jumping over the fence and get hit by a train or whatever, or falling off the train trestle.
Yeah.
Huh.
Crazy people. Crazy, crazy people.
Here's another one I found. His name is, called Tahoe Tessie. That's in California and Nevada. Stories of this aquatic creature in Lake Tahoe can be traced back to members of the Washoe and Paiute tribes in the mid-19th century. He said the cryptid lived in an underwater tunnel near Cave Rock. Fitting from Science of Tessie, he got a nickname from the famous Nessie or Loch Ness fame, continues to say, with witnesses describing the creature as being 10 to 80 feet long, having a serpentine body and coloration ranging from black to turquoise. There are several theories surrounding Tessie, the most popular being that the animal is a pterosaur, ichthyosaur, or monosaur, mosasaur. Because fossils of these creatures have been found in the surrounding Sierra Nevada mountains. However, scientists say this is unlikely because the lake formed in the last ice age, long after those animals were extinct. Other Tessie theories say she could simply be a large sturgeon or an unidentified species of freshwater eel. But believers point to a quotation from undersea explorer John Cousteau, who's alleged to have emerged from a submarine expedition in Lake Tahoe and said, the world isn't ready for what's down there.
Hmm. So it's basically like a Loch Ness monster, except it's in Lake Tahoe.
Yes.
Huh. Has there been any, like, photographic evidence or any sightings recently, or?
They haven't said. Not in this article.
Anything written about any recent sightings?
Huh. I do know that there are a couple of photos.
Here's one. I got to find an article. Let's see here. This is actually an article written in 2005. Dark shapes in the lake, Tahoe Tessie legend remains alive for visitors. Each report of a Tahoe Tessie sightings adds to the mythology of the lake's legendary creature. The legend is so prevalent that Beth Douglas of Sacramento thought Tessie sightings happened every day in Tahoe. That's why Douglas did blink at her friend Ron Tom Bodges' reaction last Friday afternoon to a dark shape undulating at the lake surface 100 yards off Tahoe Park Beach. Does that look solid to you, Tamaj of Rockland, said to Douglas? Well, Douglas replied that the shape with three humps along its back did look solid. Tamaj flatly said, damn, that's Tessie. It was so cool, Douglas said. The way he said it was so calm. I thought the Tessie sighting was an everyday occurrence. What Tamaj and Douglas described as was the subject of a talk, USOs, unidentified swimming objects, in January 2004 by Dr. Charles Goldman of the UC Davis Tahoe Research Group. At that lecture, sponsored by the Small Valley Institute, Goldman spoke of a conference he held 20 years ago at the University of Nevada, Reno, on the subject of USOs. A number of scientists there testified they had seen Tahoe Tessie. All Tessie sightings have one thing in common, said Goldman. No one ever sees the head or tail or a dark object in the water. To illustrate his point, Goldman decided to conduct a number of experiments. He created a photo of Tessie by capturing the splash from the rocks during the water. Another photo he uses shows what looks like a series of pumps in the lake, which in reality are only waves. Other theories postulate Tessie could be a large sturgeon. Despite the speculation, Tessie was no less real for Tom Lodge and Douglas. There are no big boats in the water. Tom Lodge added, I thought, whoa, this stuff is real. No photographic evidence was obtained. So, there's that.
Apparently, there's been a couple of other... I'm sorry?
I think it's the same thing as Loch Ness Monster. There's no real photographic evidence, mostly personal experiences.
Personal experiences and a couple of unexplained pictures. An off-duty bartender took a picture, apparently, of a black hump in the water, which he claimed to be the top of the creature's head. Also, there's a family vacationing near Tahoe. Cited a large black scale lacking creature appearing similar to a sturgeon with an upturned white nose. It moved up and down like a mammal instead of side to side like a reptile. And there's also been reportings of divers finding an underwater cave that a creature shot out of, leaving the stilt stirred, and where the creature had been, there were two large fin prints.
Wow, so there are actual encounters, like evidence, photographic evidence, as best it can be described, I guess. I mean, mostly it's just like pictures of humps and stuff.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. If you just get to get that elusive head to come out of the water, you know?
I mean, obviously there's got to be something down there if you've had so many accounts for... Especially if there's a cave down there.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of times monsters like that are mistaken for other like natural beasts. I guess like maybe an eel that grew to be really big, you know, something like that. I mean,
they were saying that it moved more like a mammal instead of like a reptile. I think eels, when they swim, they move side to side. Yeah. Whereas this one goes up and down like a whale. So, who knows? It would be awesome if they could, like, take five or six or however many underwater cameras they can and place them in different areas of the lake.
Well, I'm wondering.
See what kind of footage they can get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm wondering if people, if they have the legends in their mind, they see something like that, like a weka, a giant sturgeon, or, I mean, it's a really big fish, but a whale or something. It's just, it comes out a certain way. It makes it look like a monster, but it's really not. If they just have that idea in the head that they automatically assume that's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
Just like when you know, you're told a house is haunted, and you go in there with a different feeling than you do if you go into a house and no one tells you about the history of the house. No one tells you the house is haunted. You go into it differently. So if you go to a lake and you see something big in another lake, and you know there's a monster, and you want to be the one to catch it, because you know what it's going to bring you. First thing you think is like, oh my God, I saw Tahoe Tessie. It could have been something totally
completely different.
Something normal, you know.
Every time I hear monsters and lake put together, Lake Placid pops into my head.
Oh, there's one with the giant alligators with no foam in.
Say what?
Is that the one with the giant alligators? Was that?
Yeah.
And
the woman feeding her cows to it.
Yeah.
Was it Betty White in that movie?
I think so. I think she was the little old lady feeding her cows to them. I've got one more sea monster for us before we get off the air.
Okay.
Which is actually pretty cool.
Okay.
It's called the Aia Napa Sea Monster in Cyprus, over in the Mediterranean. Most of the sightings occur around Cape Greco, and it's known by the local fishermen as Tufliko Terris, which translates to the friendly monster. It's because there's been no reports of it causing any harm, although it has been reported to rip and drag away fishing nets. I don't think there's been any photographic evidence again, but there's been countless sightings of quote-unquote the creature from the depths, with a local newspaper calling the mystery the Cyprus Loch Ness, which has been speculated to be something like a crocodile or a serpent. There has, since there's no hard evidence except for just the folklore and various sightings from tourists and locals alike, there was a search for it recently featured on Destination Truth. Yuck, 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 yuck. A lot of people also believe that it is linked to the common mythical sea monster of the Greek mythology called the Scylla. That's S-C-Y-L-L-A, which is depicted in mosaics that remain in the house of Dionysus. They describe it as a monstrous form of a giant maiden in torso with a serpent for its lower body, having six snarling dog heads issuing from its midriff, including their 12 forelimbs.
So a sea creature with six dog heads?
Yeah, but they're the Napa sea monster, they're describing it more serpent-like, but they're...
I think the sky...
describing it as the Greek mythological sea monster.
I think that's the one where monster's head off, another one grows back. It's one of those monsters. Remember that legend?
Yeah.
I think it was actually in Hercules or whatever. You cut the monster's head off, and then it grows back in its place. So you don't attack the head, you attack the... You pass the head, stab
the
in the heart. That's the only way to kill it.
Yeah.
Like
now, with that one,
didn't
two heads grow back instead of one?
Yeah.
Okay. But no, so far apparently this one hasn't done anything harmful except for just taking away fishing nets on accident.
Very fair.
That's why it's known as the friendly monster.
The monster.
Yeah.
Oh, where is this now? Where is this again?
Off of Aia Napa in Cyprus, which is a popular tourist resort in the Mediterranean.
Isn't it near Greece? That
area. Cape Greco. There you go.
Because I know a lot of that.
I'm sorry?
I know the whole area was ripe in mythology.
Yeah.
Cyprus and all that, you know. So.
It's Aia and then Napa, like the auto parts store.
Yeah. Napa know how.
So.
Wow, we come to, we are almost to the end of our show.
We are.
Yes. I'm about to.
That's why I said I had one more before we had to leave.
Yeah, I know, and that's a good one to end on. But now I'm about to play our Going Away music because I like this song.
Alrighty. What?
Let you finish your sentence. Go ahead.
I was gonna say I will talk to you later this week.
Sounds good.
Since I missed my class, I have to study up on it.
Good luck on your class, and I will talk to you later, guys. Whoever listened to our show, we appreciate it. We'll be back next week with a guest, or maybe have another open discussion. We don't know yet. We'll get to it. All right. Have a good
night. Good night.
All right.
And good night, Internet world.
Good night, Fast Universe. Bye.